Good morning, and this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Ready for fall.
Uh-oh, don't say that yet. I've been holding out to this good with this good weather here.
Fall.
And I also like to especially thank Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua, our resident in-house lending expert and co-host, and just no co about it, just host when I'm gone. So, Tom, thanks for filling in last week.
Lance, I'm so glad you're back. I think John and I did pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I had a couple listeners give me a call and a couple of our clients and let me know that they were impressed.
Well,
they
good.
Said you did great.
Well, it's a lot easier when you're here, so thanks for coming home.
Well, no, it feels great to be back.
We kind of planned on it.
We had an amazing trip up to Canada with the kids, a little hockey and some camps and getting ready for the season. So, and a little mom and dad time while the kids were at camp.
Oh,
so
right.
I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, you got to do that once in a while.
So, yeah, we had a great trip, and thanks for filling in. But we are back here and taking care of business. So we always like to start off with our celebrity real estate news story. And this week, I've got Reese Witherspoon buying a mansion, an older Nashville mansion. That's her hometown that she's gone ahead and purchased with the intent of restoring. So it is. It was built by a prominent Nashville family, came back on the market last year. What had happened is a couple had bought it because they were worried it was going to be torn down and replaced by a mega mansion just for the neighborhood. It's in a very prestigious neighborhood. So they actually bought it to prevent that from happening. One of the interesting things about the story is that they actually put a deed restriction on the property. And if people don't know what that is, a deed restriction follows the land. And this deed restriction actually prevented the next owner, which is now Reese Witherspoon, from getting rid of that property.
Hmm.
Meaning because she was required to maintain that property on that land. And so she's going to probably, I'd hate to think what she's going to whip in there and do to that place. But with a purchase price of $1.95 million, she's off to a big remodel.
Money pit.
But
there must be some sentimental value for those original owners, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And they just probably liked the preservation aspect of it. We see deed restrictions more often in a case. A lot of times we'll see that in commercial real estate where somebody owned two parcels. They put maybe a gas station or a coffee shop on one parcel and, or a dry cleaner, and they don't want another dry cleaner in the same development. So they'll put a deed restriction on the land if they sell or parcel it off that says you can't have a dry cleaner on that parcel for the next 7 years. So we do see deed restrictions around here. It's rare. It's not necessarily rare, but you're not often aware of it. It kind of happens in the background. So one of the things to be aware of when purchasing land or homes like that is, are there any deed restrictions that go with the property? So on to our topic today. And like I said, we're always kind of taking what is happening actually in our local market and coming up with a little bit of a topic from that. So I'll tell you what happened about 2 weeks ago. I'm sure you remember I was driving around. It's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, perfectly sunny, calm day, and the radio starts going beep, beep, and it says a massive storm is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, this has got to be a test. It wasn't a test. It looks perfectly fine. And you remember, by 4 o'clock that afternoon, I think we had gusts of 60, 70 miles an hour.
You know, I was at home, and I thought my sprinklers were hitting the window. I was like, what is going on here? And I go outside, and it is a massive rainstorm.
Yeah, and then we had the dust with it and the wind. And so one of the things I said is, a lot of times, first-time homeowners or people that have been in their house, don't pay attention to some of the smaller maintenance items that can happen after storms like that. And, you know, every year we get two or three of those big storms. And I just said, okay. And I got the calls afterwards. We had some trees, the branches that broke at some of the properties we had listed. We had some leakage around the door seals on some other properties. So I said, okay, I'm just going to go through some basic tips that when we have those mid-Columbia storms to your property that you need to be looking out for with your property. And the number one that happens is roof damage. I mean, we get some very, very high winds around here. And so just be very cautious about after a storm like that you go around. A lot of our home inspectors just use binoculars. If you have a ladder, great, stick it up there and take a look. But just doing a visual inspection of your roof, because what happens is it might just be one or two loose shingles, or you'll be mowing the lawn and find a shingle in your, and that's what happens to me. You know, I suck it up with the lawnmower and you're like, where did that come from? Well, it's either your neighbor's house or
probably your neighbor's, right?
Or possibly yours. So check that out. And generally there's a lot of great roofing contractors we work with here in the Tri-Cities. And most often they'll come out for about $150 to $200, and they'll do a full roof inspection. So they'll go through, and a lot of times they have enough supplies with them that if it's some loose shingles or they've shifted, that they'll just fix it on the spot. You know, they'll come do that inspection, and a lot of times I see them, they do those, and it's $150, and there were two or three loose shingles, and they glue those back down or nail those back down, and it's all part of that initial charge. So if that's something you're looking for, let us know. We've got some great service providers that can do that. But what that does is that prevents from the next storm bigger problems coming, you know, and then once one shingle blows off, it's easier for it to blow off two or three. And so the other thing that happens related to this story is the other damage that we see from roofs all the time are tree branches, overgrown tree branches that scrape on the roof. You know, we get a lot of these mature areas, North Richland, a lot of trees, Central Kennewick, a lot of big trees. And a lot of people don't realize that those tree branches in the wind, they just scrape back and forth on the roof. And we see it all the time. They curl up the shingles. They knock them loose. And in the worst case scenarios, and the tree gets a little diseased or a little damaged in those limbs, and those limbs break and fall right on the roof, causing more damage. So a great call to make on that would be, we work a lot with Ryan Hone at Top Tree. You know, they can come out, take care of those issues quickly, and prevent a major problem from happening. But yeah, tree branches scraping on the roof or falling on the roof, we see a ton. Nice to knock that out with $200 or $300 up front versus an insurance claim where your deductible might be $1,000 or $1,500. Plus, if you have a claim like that, then you're going to have increased homeowner's insurance later. Better to just knock it out with a quick maintenance call. So roofing was a huge deal. We had a lot of those calls in the last 2 weeks, and so just kind of getting it all straightened out. So that was the first one that came to mind. The second one that came to mind, and we have this happen a lot of times, is the last couple of weeks, our home inspectors found a couple overloaded circuits on in your electrical panel. So people that have installed a, you know, massive, you know, shop heater that was wired with a, you know, smaller sub panel, it probably, you know, that's the most famous, is they wire the shop up, and then the next thing you know, there's a welder out there, a car lift, a big heater,
a compressor
going. And so what that can do is, if not wired properly and not installed properly, that can put a lot of stress on those panels. And what our inspectors have seen in the last couple of weeks is, then what happens is, when those panels get overloaded, if that breaker's not working properly, it actually can melt the mounting brackets that those breakers go in. And once that happens, there's not a great way to fix that without a full panel replacement. And this is not the type of stuff we always give the warning on the show. And when I looked at the statistics, there was over 60,000 structure fires in the U.S. last year. So that is a tremendous amount of structure fires. A lot of times that's happening from home repairs or electrical problems. So anytime you have that outlet that keeps popping or that outlet that burns and you're unsure what's happened there, great idea to get an electrician out there, have them change that out, get a new outlet put in there, and done professionally so that we don't have a problem later on. The average claim, once there was a structure fire, from the insurance statistics that I looked up, was if there's a structure fire, the average claim on insurance is $34,000. And so it's not just that, it's what you're going to, you know, say you have to move out while they do the restoration damage, you know. So not just the dollar amount, but the inconvenience of the timing is going to be a huge issue. So roof, electrical, and then the last one that we saw, that we've seen a ton in the last couple of weeks, and that comes down to water. You know, you've really got to watch your water. We saw a lot of standing water from that storm. It's the time of year where you're going to start seeing gutters maybe haven't been cleaned out properly, and just having a spot for that water to go to is a huge, huge deal. The other thing that we see happening a lot is we've seen a lot of condensation lines and drip pans underneath HVAC units that are plugged up. The cutter bees have got in there and nested up and plugged those up. So it just seems like that we've had a more rash of some water problems, and that really comes down to having somebody check your gutters, check your drainage, and then having an HVAC technician service that HVAC. And another great reason to bring it up this time of year is because we're about to make that transfer to where you're going to fire up the heater again.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you want to smell the dust and the dirt burning off your heater for 3 days, and that's probably not great for the heating units, a great time to have that HVAC unit serviced, make sure that heat's working before we transfer over. I hate to say it, we're coming right up on September and won't be too much longer, and we'll have those first couple of cold nights where that heat kicks in. So having that ready is going to prevent a lot of the major problems coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tom Coyne about some of the financing options, and then also about some of the simple tricks you can do that are not too costly to have your house ready to sell. We've got some amazing selling months coming up. We're always extremely busy September, October. So we'll come back after the break. We'll talk about those two items.
We're here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking today about some basic home maintenance tips, especially after we get some of the bigger fall, late summer storms that come through, and some of the maintenance items you can do. My phone starts ringing a lot after those storms, and a lot of times it's either sign damage or roof damage or some water intrusion. So just thought I'd cover some of that because we did have quite a few calls about that the last week. But first, let's get an update on lending. Tom, there's a ton of buyers out there looking. My buyer agents were extremely busy while I was gone. I think I came back to 6 or 7 contracts to review on my desk. So a lot of buyers out there looking, what do they need to know about financing right now?
Well, Lance, you are exactly right. It is extremely busy. You know, last week there was a number of nights where I'm getting in there at 7 in the morning and staying until 7 at night. So long days, lots of applications. And what we're seeing a lot right now are people wanting to get in the home with minimal down or zero down. So I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about the different zero down programs. And hopefully we'll be able to get some buyers into homes they want to buy with these zero down loans. So the first zero down loan I wanted to go over, and it's probably the best zero down loan in my opinion, is a VA loan. And that is for active and retired military personnel. And most of the times they're going to know if they qualify for VA or not. But it has some of the lowest rates of any of our loan programs are on these VA loans. The best part about VA, though, is there's no monthly mortgage insurance, which really gives them a great affordable payment. Now, give you a little background on what is mortgage insurance in case you're not aware of it. Generally, it's a fee that you're going to pay if you're not putting 20% down on a loan. And it's insurance the lender requires you to get, and it protects them against you defaulting on the loan. So it really doesn't benefit you at all. And basically every program out there has mortgage insurance where you don't put 20% down. But VA, you do not pay it monthly. So it gives you a nice low payment. Now, some people think they can only have one VA loan in their lifetime, and that's not the case. What we do is we go ahead and get your eligibility restored. That's something that we can walk you through that process. So if you've had a VA loan in the past and you thought, well, maybe I'm not eligible for another one, we'll help you get set up and make sure you are eligible. And another misconception I hear is that some people think that you can only have one VA loan at a time, which isn't the case either. So let's say you were living in California, and you had a VA loan down there, and you decided to turn that property into rental, you moved up here, you can use another VA loan to purchase a property here. So as long as, let's say, work's taken you out of the area, or you've moved, that's a circumstance when you can get a second VA loan. So definitely a great, great option is to go VA. The one downside to VA, and I wouldn't really look at it as a downside because other loan programs have this as well, but you pay a funding fee to the VA. That's something that's rolled into your loan. You don't pay it out of pocket. So fortunately, it doesn't result in increased money due from you at closing. But let's say if you're putting zero down, your first time using VA, it's generally that fee is going to be around 2% of the base loan amount. And again, that's rolled into your loan. Now, if VA considers you disabled at all, then they'll waive that funding fee completely. And more people than you think have at least 10% disability. So a lot of times we're able to just get rid of that fee. And then if you put 5% down or more, that fee is greatly reduced. So that's a funding fee or upfront mortgage insurance is something we see on a lot of these government programs. And VA is nice in that they'll drop it as you put more money down or if you're considered disabled.
And the last two that I've seen you do that came across our desk, I mean, the rates are super competitive. It's not like it's a program where the rates are out of control either.
No, it's a lot lower than our conventional loans, actually.
Yeah, I was just shocked. I saw them the other day and I came across our desk and I'm like, wow, okay, zero down from borrower. I looked at the rate and I'm like, holy cow, this, and they were a Homes for Heroes, so they were getting a discount there. And I was like, it just doesn't get much better than that.
No, VA is one of the best options, especially if you qualify. Now, where someone maybe doesn't want to go VA is, let's say they're putting 20% down, and they were going to have to pay that funding fee, but by putting 20% down, they're getting no monthly mortgage insurance. So then we're going to take a closer look at conventional and see if maybe that's a better option. But 9 times out of 10, VA loan is the way to go for veterans.
Good deal.
Now, another one I want to chat about is USDA. Similar to VA, again, it's a government program, Department of Agriculture, has very, very low interest rates. They're going to be about the same as what VA is. What's nice about VA is, or USDA, I'm sorry, is that there is mortgage insurance, but it's a very low payment. It's actually lower than our conventional loans. So VA has no monthly mortgage insurance. VA has a little bit of monthly mortgage insurance. But it keeps people payments really low and affordable. When I look at the next best alternative, we're talking FHA for these USDA buyers. That mortgage insurance is about triple what USDA
is. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big difference.
So quite the difference. Now, this program is designed to help people get into homes in what the Department of Agriculture considers rural. Now, as of now, that's the area that's north of the highway between Road 100 and Road 68. And when you get east of Road 68, it's everything north of Burden. There's a lot of homes in there that can qualify. Now, there's also pockets of Findlay, West Richland, Dallas Road, Benton City, Prosser, just anything that you consider kind of rural, it's going to qualify for the USDA loan. Now, there is talk about this boundary line changing on October 1st. Lance, how many times has this happened?
It's happened the last 3 years, I think. And I just saw you sent me an update two or three days ago with a new map again.
Yep. So there's supposed to be a new map coming out. And as of October 1st, they're saying only homes north of Standifer are going to be eligible. Now, I have a contact over at USDA. I reached out to him. I trust him. I know him well. He helps us a lot through the years. And he says, Tom, I'm not holding my breath that anything's going to change.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be one of those situations where we just need to kind of wait when October 1st comes around and see if USDA really does change that map or not.
And there's still a lot of development going north of Standifer.
Yeah,
I mean, there's still a lot of new homes being built out there, plus some of that West Richland pockets work really well.
You know, one thing I've been kind of telling clients is if you're buying a home right now in a currently eligible area, you have to kind of go into it knowing that there's a little bit of an element of risk with the potential that USDA could change those boundary lines on October 1st. it sounds like there's a good chance it won't happen, but they've certainly announced that that's pending.
So okay, good to know. We'll keep an eye on that.
We'll have to see what happens. Now, the next zero-down loan that we offer, which unlike USAA is not area-specific, is our Home Advantage program. And what we do with that is you use it in conjunction with an FHA loan, which is, again, another government-sponsored loan. But FHA requires 3.5% down. Now, for that 3.5% down, we're going to give you a 4% loan that is equal to 4% of your base loan amount. And we use that as a second loan, and you use that to make your down payment. Now, that second loan that we give you has no interest on it and no payments. You're going to pay that loan back when you buy, when you sell the house, if you refinance, or in 30 years, whichever comes sooner.
Wow, okay, great.
So it's basically free money in the sense that there's no interest and no payments on it ever. Now, this is a need-based program, and that means there's an income limit on it, but it's pretty high. It's in the $90,000 range. You have to take a home buyer's education class, but you do not have to be a first-time home buyer. Now, what I don't like about this program is that, yes, you can get in with zero down, and today you're coming in with no money, but you will pay that second loan back when you sell this house. So it's kind of like you pay it now or you pay it later.
Right, absolutely.
So I always stress to people, if you can come up with a down payment, you're very likely going to get into a better loan program. I always tell people, try to shoot for around 3 to 5% as a down payment. It's really going to put you in a better spot. And yeah, the Home Advantage program is there for you, but you end up having to pay that back down the road. So why not take a little bit of time, save the money up today, and get yourself a better loan from today till the time you sell.
Very good information, Tom. Thanks for that. And in fact, I've got some great properties, a couple here, that some of those would work really well on. So the pick three this week, we've got some awesome new listings out there, some great inventory coming on board. I've been at some amazing houses already this last week since I've been back. Pick number one that we've got, this is located at 807 West 41st Place in Kennewick. It's a four-bedroom, two-bath home. We've got low-traffic Kennewick neighborhood, 1,418 square feet. It's got tile flooring throughout, large, bright living room, bay windows. It's got a big masonry fireplace, slider off the dining room to a covered deck, and then it's got a huge backyard fully fenced, the mature trees that we were talking about, RV parking, and we're coming in at $149,900.
Wow.
So that is just a fantastic, fantastic deal. You're getting a lot of house and a lot of room and land for that value. Pick number two that I've got that would also work really well for some of these programs, 7916 Salmon Drive. This is out in Pasco. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath with a den, and this is a Rambler, all one level, 1,904 square feet on one level. You've got the large great room with the fireplace. You've got the kitchen, stainless steel appliances, breakfast bar. Super nice place, large master suite with a private bath, and it's got the split bedroom design, so you got the master on one side, the other bedrooms on the other side of the house. Really nice design, covered patio and covered deck, and we're looking at $195,000. So both of those fit very, very well in those type of programs you were talking about.
Yeah, they absolutely do. You know, that second one sounds like a nice investment opportunity for somebody, too.
Very, very good opportunity for both of those. Now, my third pick, a little bit different. We're going to the other end of the spectrum. Really nice high-end house. This is 145 South 58th Avenue. So this is just up on the hill up there in West Richland. Five-bedroom, four-bath, Rambler with basement, and it has the most amazing views of Rattlesnake Mountain. It's situated right on top of the hill there, and positioned the house just so it takes advantage of the views of Rattlesnake. 4,816 square feet, and it is just dialed in. Gourmet kitchen, granite counters, maple cabinetry, Frigidaire Pro Series appliances, double convection ovens. I mean, this, if you cook, this is a dream kitchen. Great master suite with a slider that goes out to the deck so you can take advantage of those views. Huge master bath. And then the full daylight basement has large family room, sliders out to a covered patio, great kitchenette down there, and second master bedroom in the lower level. Large bathroom, and even set up so it has handicap accessible walk-in shower. So basically what we've got there is kind of that dual family living arrangement or extended family or parents or any situation like that. This house is set up, one of the best I've seen in a long time for that type of situation. I'm going to top it off with 1 acre. Everything that we talked about, 1 acre, $560,000. So a lot of value built into that house with almost 4,800 square feet. So we're super excited to have that in our inventory. We've had a couple showings already. If you've been looking for that estate-type house with those amazing views, we'd love to get you out there and show it to you. So awesome, awesome inventory. Great pick three this week. The next most that I looked back over the last couple of weeks, went to my notes, and people are always asking when I'm at the houses, the biggest question we've had, because we have a lot of fall inventory. We kind of get a spike. The kids are back to school, right? I hope you got them there last week. If you didn't, you might take a look at started.
And remember to pick them up.
And remember to pick them up. So
slow down in the school zones.
Slow down in the school zones. But people are getting back in their routines and starting to look around and say, hey, maybe we can make a move before the end of the year. Here's a couple things we want to do. So we get a spike. We always get a fall spike in business that starts, and we stay really, really busy. So a couple quick tips for getting those houses ready before I come out or when I can come out, I can help you take a look at this. But I tell you what, number one is paint anything and everything. I mean, that is just, we always talk about paint, freshening up the front door, that entryway, taking an afternoon, and it is painstaking and it is boring work, but touching up all the trim work, you know, with touch-up paint, the corners where you drag the vacuum around and jam it into the wall, you know, all of that getting touched up and brightened up, for the cost and doing that is the biggest return on your investment. So also, if we have any crazy bedroom paint, you know, neon green, bright pink, great for while you're living there, but not so great when you're going to sell. We always try to look back for a neutral color if we can. So the number one thing that I talked to a lot of people about last week was the paint. The next thing that's not going to kill the budget that you can easily do is rearranging your existing furniture. That couch that blocked the door that went out of the daylight basement because you never used that door was a great idea for space and maybe how your family was living. But when a buyer walks into a house, that might be a benefit to them to access the backyard from that lower level. They might like that access in and out. So if it's blocked and arranged that way, or it's blocking natural traffic patterns, cheapest thing you can do and to make the rooms look better is remove generally a couple pieces of furniture and rearrange the existing furniture for better traffic flow. I mean, we do that so often. I mean, a lot of times we're telling people to take pieces out, put it in the garage, put it in storage. Doesn't have to be forever, but while we're selling, that can make a huge, huge difference. So rearranging furniture can be a pain. You're going to have to call your buddies. You're going to have to buy them some pizza, but get the neighbors over and move some furniture around. And generally, less is better is what we end up finding. The next thing that I was super impressed with this week and seeing some changes that a couple of our clients made, and that was improving lighting. Making sure all the bulbs are working, and if you have outdated light fixtures or replacing and updating those light fixtures can make a huge, huge difference. You know, I mean, in the 90s, every light fixture that went into a house was brass. You know, but if you go through and update those to a stainless nickel or a brushed nickel, when you see next week, we have, in fact, Parade of Homes starting. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, but go see some examples of what those modern lighting fixtures are looking like. And then updating lighting is one of the lower cost ways that you can make a huge difference in the look of a house.
You know, Lance, it seems like every one of my clients that I talk to, they always say, geez, you know, we don't know if we're going to build and get a new house or we're going to buy existing. So these existing homes, you know, those little updates they can do would help give them the edge over some of these new homes.
And that's exactly right. They're trying to make that decision. A lot of times they're with an agent. We have them out there in our car, and they're comparing that to new construction. So if yours looks like new construction, a lot of times they'll see you have the yard in and all that done, and they'll go ahead and pick that. So having those little updates make a huge, huge difference. And then the last one that I wrote down was just really making sure that you increase your storage. So if you have a closet that everything's just piled in or jammed in, you got to take some of that. People always ask me, well, are people really going to look in my closets? Well, you know what? They are. Because they want to see how big the closet is for when they put stuff in. They always want to see, well, how big is this closet? And if it is just jammed full and, you know, there's stuff stacked up, it's going to look small, regardless of how big it is. So packing, you know, half of that stuff up, or if it's winter, you know, pack up all your summer clothes, you know, and just keep the ones that you're using right now. Makes those closets look a lot bigger. So showing that you have increased storage space, and a lot of times that's easily done in the cheapest way, is by removing some of the stuff that you have in there. Makes a huge, huge difference. So those are some of the tips that we've been going over with our clients in the last week or so.
I feel like you do all six of those for under $100.
Yeah, you know, you really could. Yeah, $100 to $300, and you could knock out almost all of those. And two or three days of your time.
That's true.
Trim work, Tom. It's going to take you a while. So that's just some great, great options that we have. If you need me to come out, take a look at what you have, do a consult on pricing, we're doing tons of those right now. Great, great time to sell. People are, see the weather changing a little bit. They're asking me to glance, do we still have time to sell before the end of the year? We absolutely do. There's a huge number of sales that happen in the next 3 months. So give us a call, and we'd be glad to give you that analysis and help you get your house on the market. And more importantly, we'll be right back here next Saturday.
Right here on Move Talk 870.